So this is Parshas Vayechi. Yaakov lives in Eretz Mitzrayim. You know, the only time that Yaakov had a good life was these 17 years that he's in Eretz Mitzrayim. And the 17 is Gematria Toiv. And Vayechi Yaakov, I was just like, he lives. So the Sforim say, I think the Zohar Kodesh says, Hitimoy Mein Olam Habo. He had a taste of the taste of the world to come, those years in Mitzrayim. So, you know, Mitzrayim was such a mokoim tamei. Says in the Haggadah we say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself, Echvoido Ba'atzmoi, came to redeem us from Mitzrayim. Sforim say that because Mitzrayim is so tamei that an angel that went down to Egypt would just become completely corrupted just by the air of Egypt, such a tummy place. And here Yaakov Avinu goes down to Mitzrayim, and that's his true life. His first time in his life, he has a machaya geshmak. He had a hard life. He was running from this one, from his brother, dealing with issues. Death of Rachel, the disappearance of Yosef. And then he goes down into Egypt because the Rabbi Hashem said to him, I'm going down with you. So, yeah, I'm going down with you, Mamela. How bad can it be already? You know, the Holy Rebbe Rabbinim used to say, a person needs to prepare himself for dying. So they asked him, you know, how did he prepare himself? So he said that every day of his life, he learned something. He had a chavrusa with the Gemara. Without fail. So he knows that after 120 years, they'll judge him and they'll send him to that other place. And his chavrusa, the Gemara, will come in front of the throne of glory and complain. You know, I used to have with Binim a chavrusa every day, and now, where's he gone? So there'll be a big tumult. They'll look for him. They'll find him in that other place. They'll come down there and they'll say, you have to learn. What did the Gemara do wrong just because you're such a sinner, so the Gemara has to do that? So he'll say, I can't. In a place like this, with all this screaming going on, I can't concentrate. So they'll say to him, well, what do you need? So he'll say, I need Rabbi Akiva. So they'll say, well, you can't go to Rabbi Akiva's place in Gan Eden. No way. But he says, I'm going to insist that the only way that I can learn Gemara is if I have Rabbi Akiva as my learning teacher, here, my tutor. So they'll bring Rabbi Akiva here. He says, so no, I'm sitting in Gehenna with Rabbi Akiva learning the Gemara. It's not so bad, you know. That's what he meant, that he'd prepared himself. So Yaakov Avinu has to go down to Egypt, to the worst place in the world. It's the mother of all exiles, but you know, he goes down there with the Shekhinah and he spends 17 years with his children. It's not such a bad place, right? So he lives. Then the Torah tells us, Vayikruvu, and his time came to die. So he calls his son Yosef and he makes him swear. So he takes the two children with him, Menashe and Ephraim, and Yaakov blesses Menashe and Ephraim, but he puts Ephraim before Menashe. Sometimes the Torah calls him Yaakov, and sometimes he's called Yisro. Now sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Hashem Yudke Vavke, and sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is called Elikim. Sometimes we are the Madrega of Menashe and sometimes on Ephraim. In this week's Sedra, we have these different concepts become clear. The idea of Elohim, we learned many times, means that you can forget that God is running the show. You know, if you were there, Bamasa Bereshis, if you were there at the creation of the world, and you saw God say, Yehi Oyer, and you saw, you know, the universe being brought into existence from nothing, it would be clear to you that there's a God, there's a creator who runs everything, right? But already by the 10th day, already, you see the sun come up every day. You stop being aware that this is every molecule of hydrogen and helium in the sun. It's all Moitzi Pi Hashem, it's God saying, Yehi Or. By year 1000, already it's, oh, you know, it's good morning. What am I supposed to think? I can't be in that awareness anymore of God saying Yehi Or. So it's not that God is any less in charge. It's not that the Hashgacha Pratis, that the individual supervision that God gives to his creation, to everything in creation, is any less. It's my, I became used to the idea. And so the Ari says the name Elohim is Gematria Hateva. Because in my awareness, God has become obscured. And I start to think of things as natural. It's natural for the sun to come up in the morning. So already I've obscured the presence, the manifestation, the Kvod Shemaim. It's natural. You know, the Lelever, Rebbe David Lelever, he never went anywhere without his pelts, you know, his fur coat, even in the summer, when they would send him to the Kveis Baden or wherever it was, these health resorts, so that he should recover his health, he would tell the shamans to pack the pelts. You say, Rebbe, it's the middle of the summer, you know, it's warm every morning. And he would say, well, just because it's warm every morning doesn't mean that tomorrow will be warm. Barab David Lelever, he never, to him nothing was ever natural. There's no such thing as natural. Natural is an illusion that overtakes the human mind, and that creates the Shem Elohim. And when Yaakov is entering into such a place that it's possible to forget about the imminence and the presence of the divine word and command and supervision, then he's Yaakov. And when the world comes out of that, it's Yisroel. So Yisroel is associated with the Shem Yudke Vovke. Yaakov is associated with the Shem Elohim. And Menashe and Ephraim, the word Menashe, he says, Kinashani Elohim Beisovi, God has made me forget about my father's house, right? So there's an Indian of forgetting in Menashe. And the name Ephraim is like Prurvu. Be fruitful, multiply, and open up. So Yosef thinks that it has to be always like this. First the forgetting and then the opening up. First the Elohim and then the Yudke Vovke. First the Yankiv and then the Yisro. And he says, Father, Menashe is the Bechor. And Yaakov says, Yodati b'ni Yodati. It's interesting that Yaakov doesn't put Menasseh on the left and Ephraim on the right. He leaves them where they are. He puts his hands, because Menasseh is still the Bechor, and Ephraim is still the second born. Yaakov's not disputing the order. Yaakov is disputing how it has to be, how it has to manifest in the world. What is the future going to be? And, you know, he says to Yosef, if you insist that Menasseh become developed, that he be the right hand, then Yehoshua ben Nun is not going to be able to come into the world. Because Yehoshua is the Nosi, the tribe of Ephraim. You know, Ephraim has a potential that Menasseh, with all his greatness, doesn't have. So here, I want to put the right-handness into Ephraim. If you're going to insist that it go into Menasseh, you're going to be interfering with Jewish history. And so Yaakov says, Yodati b'ni yodati. You know, you have Yedia, you have Das. Yosef is Midas Yisod, which shines light on everything. But Yaakov says, I'm deeper. I'm deeper even than the Sefira of Das. It's Yodati b'ni yodati. There's a knowing that is even deeper than your knowing. You know, Rashi says, Yaakov called his children together. Bikish Yaakov legalis is a kates. Yaakov wanted to reveal the end, and the stalkumim and a shchina, and the shchina left him. It's interesting. One of the things that Yaakov says to the children, Vayavorech Oysa b'yom ahu, and he blessed him on that day, blessed Yosef on that day. The Zohar Kodesh asked, what bracha didn't he give? Didn't bless Yosef on that day. He only blessed Menasseh Ephraim. So Zohar Kodesh answers, because the blessings of the children, that is the blessing. That's the blessing for the parents. But it says, and he blessed them on that day. See? So the Rebbe Rabbinim says, is that he blessed them with that day. And he has a whole list of different mefarshim, different pshotim. I mean, on the simplest level, Yaakov blesses us, because we're all, the Yiddish kinder all called Ephraim. Habein li'akil Ephraim, yelet shashuim. Vayavarchem b'yom ahu. So he blesses us with that day. And in order to be at the level of Ephraim, which is to be aware and not to go into that forgetting, which is the Shem Elokim of Hateva, so you have to be b'yom ahu, you have to be mamish, living in the day, and not to be in yesterday and not to be in tomorrow. If I'm in yesterday, then you know I have one leg in the past, I'm dealing with my resentments, and you know, and if I'm in tomorrow, I'm dealing with fear. So Vayivarchem b'yom ahu, he blesses him with that day. He says, because my bracha can only be chal if you can stay in the day. And then the Rebbe Rabbinim says that he also blesses them b'yom. Yom is behiris, with clarity. And hahu, that refers to that which is not so clear. It's obscured. It's in the third person. Bayom hahu, on that day. So he blesses them that In the obscurity, there should still be clarity. Rebbe Rabinim says, also, you know, that day, when we talk about that day, we're talking about Yontif. So he says, Yaakovina blesses us with Bayoy Mahu, that every day should have that unique specialness of a Yontif. Or he says, when you approach something holy and you have the kavana of worshipping God, that's the inyan of yoim, behirus, clarity, it's shining, your kavana is shining. So he says that you should be able to put into hahu, meaning at that time when it was just a machshava, you should be able to follow through from that machshava which you had originally all the way through to the master to be able to put into it a clarity. The Rebbe Rabbinim has nochamul and nochamul and nochamul. What is it that Yaakov is benching the children? Yaakov never did anything in his life that required afterwards biru. Yaakov's whole life was the idea that before you do anything, you think it through. You know, but Yaakov's way, it's there inside all of us, but it's not necessarily our way. Yaakov himself says to Yehuda, Yehuda, ato yoiducho. You, Yehuda, everybody, as soon as you come on the scene, it's like you change everything. Yaakov in his life, he never did anything that required birurin. And Yosef, he has the midah of Yaakov, and he tries to take Yaakov's way of worshipping God to the nth degree, and in his own life, he does. He manages to avoid doing anything that's going to require afterwards birurin. But look at Yehuda. Everything Yehuda does requires birurin, requires clarification. What was your kavona, right? And what happens? Everything Yehuda does, God clarifies it and says, you see, it was a mitzvah. Nasala kezochius. Everything forbidden became permitted, and everything wrong became right, and everything that he did bemazed became a mitzvah, a zechus. So how can you square this with Yaakov's way? The thing is, Yaakov knows what Yehuda is, and he can see, Yaakov can appreciate. The thing is, God keeps on putting into Yaakov's mind, look what your children did to you. Look what how they sold Yosef. And as Yaakov comes to the end of his life, and he wants to open everything up for us, God keeps on reminding him. And it's not for nothing, right? See, if Yaakov was really able, see, Yaakov is the shoyrish. Yaakov is the root from which we all come. If Yaakov could have opened up to us the way he wanted to, we would all have been able to just burst out. Because, you know, Yaakov is ufuratzta, right? Yom avaked mutzufayna v'negbo, right? So Yitzchak, Avram Yitzchak get told, this is the land, I'm going to give you this land, and this is the land I'm going to give to your children, right? God doesn't speak like that to Yaakov. He says, ufuratzta yom avaked, you're going to explode east and west and north and south, right? Nachle b'li mitzurim. And Yaakov wants to push that through, but he's not going to be allowed, as we see in this week's Sedri, Bikish Yaakov legalis is haketz. It's only when Yaakov gets to the brocha that he gives Yehuda that he starts to open up. And what happens is before he gets there, he deals with Reuven, Shimon, and Levi, Bedivre Kanta. He chastises them. He counters them. And that's why we're still in Gulis today. That is why we're still in exile, because these three tribes, they contain the seeds of the redemption. And Reuven is the one who's going to lead the redemption. He's the one who's just going to break out. I sometimes think that the whole Zionist enterprise is being led by people from the tribe of Reuven. They just don't know when to hold back, right? And they just jump in there without oversight of themselves. As Jews, the Zionists are jumping in without any real awareness of their historicity and their place in history. It's just like, never mind history. Let's just do this enterprise. And the koyach isn't there because Yaakov Avinu didn't unlock that koyach in them. It wasn't until he got to Yehuda that he broke through. Because up until then, it's like God was whispering in his ears, "Oh, look what your children did. You need to say something to your children. You need to tell them off." Yaakov didn't want to tell us off, you know? Yaakov wanted to reveal to us everything about who we are. If we know who we are, then we're not in exile. The exile is not knowing who you are. And as much as Yaakov wanted to, the Rabbani Shalom wouldn't let him, because then there would be no gulas. And the Rabbani Shalom wants there to be an exile, because who knows why? Because that's his plan. So it's interesting, Torah from Reb Shimshon of Ostropol. Moshe Rabbeinu thought that the Yidden that sold the brothers, the tribes who sold their brother, they were poigim, they damaged, they did harm to the name of God. Kavyochel, as it were. And so, the name of God is 26, Yudkevovke, so they should be in exile for 260 years. And so, Vayaku saw Lerois in Pashas Shmois next week, it says, and he turned aside. So Reb Shimshon Ostropolis said, when he saw the burning bush and he got an inkling that this was the Schalte de Geula, the beginning of redemption, he turned aside, saw Lerois, saw Reish Samach is 260. He said, it can't be, it's not time yet. They haven't been in Egypt long enough. And God explains to him that there's never been a pigam in the name of God, Yudke Vovke. That this idea of the separation of the Shekhinah from, you know, the separation of the hay at the end, Yudke Vov from the hay, that's not what was going on in the Mechiras Yosef. Mechiras Yosef was a pigam in the name Ekye, Aleph He Yudhe. Yaakov Avinu understood that, because Yaakov Avinu is not the inside of Yud Kevav, he's the outside. The thing is, Yaakov Avinu thought that they need to be in Mitzrayim 190 years. Bikish Yaakov Ligalis is Akates, because he reckoned that there were nine brothers who sold Yosef. Nine times 21, 189. That's how many years. And so Reb Shimshon Ostropolis, Paula said, Bikish Yaakov Ligalis Akates, he wanted to reveal that it was going to be 190 years. Nistalik Men Shechina, he didn't realize that the Shechina was also involved in the Mechiras Yosef. And that in fact it was going to be 210 years. 10 times 21. So Iacovini wanted to explain what it is that has to happen to us in order for the exile to end. In order to do that, he has to explain to us who we are. But the Rabbeinu Shalom won't let him. And so the first three Shvotim on whom the Gula depends, he doesn't open them up. He can't. And that's why in Parshas Va'eiro, the Geula can't really begin until there's a Yichus of the first three Shvotim, and the Torah tells us the Yichus of the tribes of Reuven, Shimon, and Levi until we get to Pinchas, and then come the plagues and the Yitzias Mitzrayim. But that has to stay for Moshe to do. Yaakov is being held back here. What does it mean? What does it mean that they were poigim in the Shem Aleph Heyute? God says to Moshe, you know, when he says, so what shall I tell him is your name? If it's not Yud Kei Vov Kei, that's not what the Golus is about. That's not what brought us down to Egypt. So he says, tell them, my name is Aleph Heyute. When we were learning Sefer Yetzirah, we talked about the idea that all fear comes from the idea of the future. If I don't have a concept of future, I can't be afraid of anything. And that, you know, my shying away from things and my not wanting to do something, my nightmares, whatever it is, wherever that I, you know, in whether in my spirit, in my emotions, in my brain, in my body, wherever there is fear, it's an anticipation of something that is going to happen to me. I'm afraid of the pain that will come, I'm afraid of the loss that I'll experience, or whatever it is. So the name of God that's associated with the future is I will be who I will be. Ekya Ashek. So, how do the brothers, how are they poigim this name of God with the selling of Yosef? You know, the Ishbitzer says that Yosef was afraid that Yaakov Avinu had this dross, you know, this little bit of excess that needed to be sloughed off, and the, you know, that he was the true child, and the other brothers, they were like, you know, that part of Yaakov that needed to disappear, like Avraham has Yitzchak and Yishmael, and Yishmael is that part of Yaakov, which Avraham, which is excessive, or Yitzchak has Yaakov and Esav represents that part of the Gevura which is excessive. So Yaakov has this, and maybe it's true. Maybe if Yosef hadn't spilled those 10 drops of seed, then he would have had 12 children who would have been the 12 tribes. That was a possibility. As it was two drops of seed that, you know, that he didn't spill, so that's a fraymanet. It's possible. Yaakov says, "Keruven v'cheshimen yeli," that a fraymanet will be like Reuven Shimon, because, you know, really he was supposed to have had another child with Bilhah. After the death of Rochel, Yaakov wanted to bring another child into the world, and Reuven wouldn't let him because he insisted that the bed, you know, be in Leah's tent, and so Yaakov never again in his life was with any of his wives. So that child that had to come into the world comes into the world as Ephraim Menashe. So Reuven, you really could have been the firstborn, etc., but you couldn't because of what you did, and so now Yosef takes this. The brothers, on the other hand, they thought the other way around. They thought that Yaakov has a middah that's too much, and you know, that has to be sloughed off, and that's Yosef. Later, after Yaakov dies, and then the brothers come to Yosef, and they beg him for forgiveness, he cries, and they cry. What's all the crying about? Because they realized how wrong they had been. They'd been wrong in thinking that Yosef was, you know, the one who had to disappear, and he was crying because he thought that about them. What was it all about? It was all about the name, I will be who I will be, that God says, I will be. See, in Midas Yisad, in this Sefirah of Yisad, where Yosef is the paradigm, it's the I will be. You know, in the DNA from which we're made is the I will be. Because all those possibilities are there of children to come into the world, or ideas to come into the world, or ways of worshipping God to come into the world. All the potential. So the damage that we did or that we do when we what is it that we did to Yosef? We separated Yosef from Yaakov. We separated, it's like we separated the eyes from the vision, or we separated, you know, you can distort the world just by putting on, you know, a pair of glasses that are prisms, right? So everything is there, but you know, the light is now separated into red, blue, and green, you know, and you don't see anymore what you should see. By separating, by causing the distance between Yaakov and Yosef, we did something to the way things flow into the world. We damaged the way the future is going to happen. But, you know, it's hard to say that it's the future that we damaged. We didn't damage the future. We damaged the way in which things are perceived. And that's the meaning of the pigam in the Shem Ekya. Rabbeinu Shlom says, I will be. For sure, what the Rabbeinu Shlom says he'll be, it will be. Right? And yet, as we see from the way things unfold, Yosef doesn't have 12 children. Yehuda and Yosef get into this big struggle. This one thinks he's going to be the one to save the world. This one thinks he's going to be. So there's so much confusion. And who's the most involved in it? The Rebbeinu Shlalom himself. And this is what we get here in the Seder, that Yaakov Avinu Bikish Ligalus HaKetzer. Yaakov Avinu really wants to bring everything out of the confusion by showing us, each of us, that we are the 12 Gvulei Alachson, that each of us tribes has its particular place in the way, the shape of the world. And that, you know, the light hasn't been really obscured, and we can still get this vision. And, you know, this is what Yaakov wants to show us. He doesn't want to show us when the end will be. He wants to show us who we are. Memela, there won't be a Gulus. But that's not the Rabbeinu Shlom's plan. In order for the Gulus to end, in order for the exile to end, really, Reuven and Shimon and Levi have to realize who they are.